Hello and welcome to the T3 podcast on Good Friday. And what a good Friday it is. Coming up on this week's excellent show.
Hey!
It's started
sure
already.
We had that last year.
Facebook plays it straight and ends up in a spot of bother over its innovative take on free expression. Apple makes another gazillion dollars and promptly aims its lawyers at Samsung. More rumours of a Wii 2 and where you can get your gaming Easter egg fill without ever disturbing the foil on your Cadbury's Buttons egg. All that and more with my fabulous co-host, the lovely Ree Morgan, and the man who's suddenly a big fan of MySpace. It's T3's Mr. Duncan Bell. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Happy
Hello.
Good Friday.
I'm celebrating with a cup of coffee.
Yep.
Duncan.
Some chocolate.
I'm celebrating with a can of Bacardi and Coke. How sophisticated
Classy.
Is that? It
with
was sent some... into the office, so I'm doing this purely for research purposes.
Right.
Yes. Bacardi Superior with zero calorie cola, you see.
So oh,
it's
well, yeah.
Practically a health drink.
Yes, apart from the copious amounts of Bacardi.
Well, do you know what? I don't think there's that much Bacardi, to be quite honest, between you and me. But no, it's great. Everybody's in the Easter spirits.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
Just means you just eat loads of chocolate, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, it's first of many, many, many bank holidays. Anyway, Duncan, it's been another week of...
Let's attempt to resurrect this podcast.
Apple.
Actually, I was away last week.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm not comparing myself to Jesus, but I was... I did go away, and now I am
now,
back.
Miraculous yeah. return. Extraordinary.
I'm just going to leave people to draw their own conclusions.
Yeah, maybe that's wise. Anyway, it's been another week of Apple news, but not all of it good, Duncan.
No. Do you know what? You know, I spend a lot of time on this podcast sort of semi-defending Apple from people who would, who are a bit hysterical about how much they hate Apple. But when you suddenly discover that your bloody iPhone is tracking your every king movement in order for God knows what purposes... And Apple can't even be bothered to like give out a statement about it above and beyond. Well, it's in the terms and conditions.
Yeah, I vaguely remember it was months ago doing a story on these terms and conditions, which have like ridiculous, wide, sweeping,
and they're
things
so long. It's
yeah.
I didn't count them up, but I think the Guardian or somebody did, and it's buried somewhere near the end of a 15,200 word.
Yeah, you just click
list
okay
of terms and conditions, which of course you go, yeah, whatever.
But this is proper.
It's
why
dark.
Are they doing it? It's a file that locks your every move.
That's the question, isn't it? Because I mean, actually, they say it's in the terms and conditions. We gather information to learn more about our customers. Mm. So developers of apps, you know, because I can see, okay, like say you've got bazillions of iPhone users who all live in like Bath, say, yeah. where Future has offices. That's not relevant, but in Bath, then it might be useful to people who make an app, like say the Yell app, to know
yeah.
that it would be useful to harvest a load of information about businesses in Bath.
Yeah.
But for Christ's sake, like beyond that, I mean, why can't you opt out of it? That's
yeah.
the main thing.
Well, I was
it's
giving
a safety
like,
thing. If you get it stolen,
yeah.
then they can find it.
I mean, I guess if you take a step back, you can say, well, really, would this information, would people be able to use it against you? And apart from if you're having an affair, maybe not.
Oh,
but it's
not
just
in the
like,
public domain, though, is it?
I just don't understand why Apple does these things. Yeah. It's like it's actively
it's,
trying to wind
is,
you up.
It whacks it on your computer as well. So if someone hacked your computer, they could get to it. If someone nicks your phone, they could get to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just why have it there?
Mm. And why, I'm not saying they're not exactly being secretive about it. I think this is what annoys people about Apple more than anything else, is their like cleverness with things like this, because they can say, yeah, it is in the terms and conditions. Mm. Yeah, but it's buried in the terms and conditions,
yeah.
which are massive. Why not just say, we would like to collect information about where you are. Actually, and in fact, even in the terms and conditions, it says we may collect information about your whereabouts. That's not the same as your bloody phone broadcasts your location at all times and is keeping a record of every single place that you go.
Yeah, that is different.
I mean,
well,
words fail me, frankly.
Okay, that turned into sort of a rant
That's
from all
a surprise.
Of us there. Excellent.
Luckily,
anyway.
I'm not having an affair, so I've got nothing to hide. In case my boyfriend's listening to this. He just goes through my texts to find out if I'm shagging somebody else.
Now he's got a whole new level.
The old school way.
Well, on to our top story, and it's the hot water Facebook got itself into this week after it removed a user's photo of a gay kiss and then made a nicely timed announcement about allowing restrictions on free speech in emerging markets, which is always nice.
Which means China.
Yes. First, the kiss. Amusingly, this was a still of the EastEnders character Christian Clarke having a smooch with another man. Shock horror.
Is he a gay character in EastEnders?
Yes, he is.
Okay. So was it a picture of him in character or him like
socially?
No, it was
a picture of him in the soap. Facebook removed it, saying it violated its terms and conditions, and if the user persisted, his account could be suspended. It's clearly not EastEnders fans then.
Well, it would have to be Colin from EastEnders for me to even get that reference, because I haven't watched it for that long.
Colin from EastEnders.
The thing, because that also, it was put up because it was like a reaction to some guys got chucked out of a pub in London. Having a kiss.
And then,
the guy who posted it was Niall O'Connerhale, and it was to illustrate, as you say, a story about a gay couple being thrown out of a London pub for kissing. It's just the deep irony. Who at Facebook saw that and went, oh, my God?
Yeah, but I don't understand. How did they find it? I don't understand. Did they, like, scan our photos to see?
I can imagine is someone... Isn't there, an offensive button you can hit if you come across something?
Yeah, maybe there is.
I suppose it must be that. Yeah, somebody must have made a complaint.
Someone must have complained.
Yeah, surely Facebook doesn't employ enough people to sit there looking at every single photograph.
The thing is, it's no surprise that there's, homophobic or people who get uncomfortable about gay kisses in the world. But when it's an institution, when it's Facebook, a company, going, oh, yes, well, we must sweep that away.
Yeah. I know, it is quite annoying because, living in London, you always think, everybody's cool about everything or whatever. And a lot of people are... I'm trying to be as diplomatic as I can here. a lot of people have, reservations about, gay, this, that, or the other. I just think if it's just two blokes having a kiss, what do they think? Do they think basically, if we start by having two blokes having a kiss,
where's it going to lead?
No, but I think the point is
two photographs down the line, what?
No, but I think the thing is you can have a male and a female having a kiss. They don't take that off because they don't think that's going to lead to anywhere.
The reason they gave was that graphic or sexually suggestive content is not permitted on Facebook. But let's be clear,
it was in a crowded pub, wasn't it?
The picture itself was two guys in a park, fully clothed, not touching anything, having a smooch,
There's no kids involved, no animals.
It was all, perfectly above board.
Bizarre. It is pretty ridiculous. Facebook, to their credit, did then say, oh, sorry about that. It's actually not offensive.
They've said.
But they didn't explain why they took it down in the first place.
You're right, and they haven't apologised. They have apologised. I take that entirely back. They've said the photo in question does not violate our statement of rights and responsibilities and was removed in error. We apologise for the inconvenience, which isn't quite the same as apologising.
Taking it off. Who is inconvenienced?
If your train's late, you apologise for the inconvenience. But to crown it all this week, one of its junior lobbyists, Adam Connor, has said too much free speech is a barrier to the social network's entry into emergent markets. This, of course, on the back of the Facebook revolutions in the Middle East and North Africa.
Yeah. I see you've got the exact quote here, which is pretty classic.
Read it out.
Where is it? We occasionally held in uncomfortable positions because now we're allowing too much, maybe, free speech in countries that haven't experienced it before.
Right, and it's causing revolutions.
We should...
That's terrible.
Oh, free speech. You can't have too much of that.
These poor dictators are being toppled.
And we hate puffs.
He added in a statement.
Didn't
that's
go on to
just
add.
Terrible.
I'm not sure he actually did. Mark Zuckerberg, the founder, he was in China not so long ago meeting Robin Li, who's the head of the Chinese search site Baidu, which has kind of already sparked a bit of speculation that Facebook may be going in there. Of course, when Google went in, there was all sorts of restrictions placed on them. You'd assume that Facebook might have the same sort of restrictions, and maybe this kind of comment is paving the way for that.
But it shouldn't really... I don't think you should... That's not how you should approach it, really.
It seems odd.
Is it? You can't just put the barriers down.
It's not like Facebook is, short of cash and desperately has to reach out for other markets to expand.
I suppose that's the problem. You can't... I suppose, capitalism is what it is, and you can't expect a company to be moral in that sense. Necessarily, but it's just, it's like you say, it just seems unnecessary.
Yeah.
It's like you already have about half the money in the world. Do you really have to cave in to dictatorial regimes that, let's face it, they're not, people say China's much better than it used to be, but they're still arresting, artists and not even just obscure artists. Like the guy who's got the little sunflower seeds in the Tate Modern at the moment. Nobody knows where that guy is because he was arrested in China and he's now vanished into their little system of being having a bit of a talking to from the officials. So it's not...
They're not the greatest country when it comes to free speech, let's face it.
No, I know. And okay, they have their way of doing things. We have our way of doing things. But I don't really see why Western companies feel they have to like bend over backwards to accommodate the Chinese. Sure. But
they should just leave it, because it goes against everything that... Not against everything that Facebook is, but
It goes against everything that these founders, in the 90s, you know, when they were there as college students...
If you believe the social network and the book that it's based on, those people are all basically kind of completely egocentric, self-centered, sort of unable to kind of compute what human relationships are like type people. So it's almost what you'd expect. I mean, Google got into big trouble because their whole thing was like, let's be nice to everybody.
But Facebook, I suppose, never had these qualms. So
yeah, maybe it's fair enough. Maybe it's just of a piece with what Facebook is like.
Maybe. Oh, well, not a great week for them, but plenty more news to plow through. So let me say, here is the news. For more record figures from Apple, which has announced its best ever quarterly sales of $24.7 billion, helped by a stellar 18.7 million iPhones sold in the 3 months to March. It also managed to flog 3.8 million Macs, but there was a 17% dip in iPod sales and below expected sales of iPad 2s, but only because of supply problems in Japan meant it couldn't keep up with demand.
Not resting on its laurels, Apple is suing Samsung after accusing the Korean giant of copying its phones. Papers filed in California claims the Galaxy S, Epic 4G, Nexus S, and Galaxy Tab are all derived from the iPhone 3G or iPad. Meanwhile, Reuters has it from three close sources that the iPhone 5 will land in September. Mm. They claim it look largely similar to the 4, but support the iPad 2's 1GB dual-core processor.
Powerful. Is there something ironic about a Korean giant? Or is that just racist? The upcoming Sony NGP has spelt
yes,
the end.
Yes, that's racist.
Yeah, it is. Okay. Ill-fated PSP Go. Sony in Japan says it's pulling production of the slider to concentrate on its next-gen portable.
Rumours are building of a Wii 2 announcement at this year's E3 in June, and a HD upgrade looks a shoo-in, while controllers supporting their own personal screens are also expected.
Weird. Orange has revealed that the eagerly awaited dual-core Motorola Atrix will hit British soil early next month. Prepare to save if you want to show it off with the impressive laptop dock. It's been given a price tag of £300. Meanwhile, a leaked promo clip suggests HTC is lining up a 16-megapixel toting Windows phone. The sharpshooter would beat the current record held by the 14-megapixel Altec Leo.
And finally, at long last, Amazon is allowing Kindle users to borrow books from their local library.
Hooray!
Unlike with Sony's Reader, it won't use standard EPUB books already available in UK libraries. Instead, they'll be in Amazon's own Kindle format, and from the moment, it's US only. God damn it.
Curse you, God.
Everything, all the cool features on the Kindle in the US, the person-to-person
borrowing
and all that.
Well, it took ages enough to come over here, didn't it?
You can. What is the Altec Leo?
I don't know, but it's got a 14-megapixel.
It's got a lot of megapixels in it.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
The things that people want in phones don't seem to tally with what I want in phones.
A 16-megapixel camera seems insane when you've got like a kind of a crappy little plastic lens.
And the processor thing as well. I don't want a faster processor in the iPhone. I want like a battery that lasts for longer than 15 minutes and the ability to make phone calls whilst I'm holding it in my hand.
What's rather interesting is that the two features that are kind of...
Oh, and more storage. I want more storage.
The two features that are happening at the moment, which is dual-core and 4G, both... absolutely kill battery life.
Yeah. That's the thing. If the iPhone get those, then...
Yeah,
I know, I think that's...
You're going to have to carry a battery pack around with you.
It's just because it's the easier thing to do, because like the technology in processors is moving on so fast.
The batteries. Mm.
But the phone's already bloody fast enough. It's like...
Honestly. Anyway,
Schmeel.
Time to see what you've been tweeting to at T3DOTCOM. Dunk.
Well, Laurie's lorry driving geek. I thought they said lorry driving Greek for a moment. Carl, he says, damn you, T3 podcast. Oh, you see, I go away for 1 week. You're upsetting people. I had my heart set on an HTC Desire HD until you mentioned the Motorola Atrix and made me research it.
Sorry about that.
So I assume he wants that now. Or does he want both? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know.
He wants that, I think, now.
Okay. Everybody at the Gadget Show Live really liked that.
Loved
they?
It. Mm. They're all intrigued by the Atrix.
Interesting.
Chris, what does he have to say?
I don't know, Dan. What's he have to say? Do you want me to read that one as well?
I think so.
I do apologise. Chris A. McGregan asks, do you think the Motorola Atrix is any sort of decent competition to stave off the iPhone 5? That's a really, very weird way of asking that question.
I don't think it's It's not. Not, I'm not sure they're competing necessarily devices. It's a completely different kind of
thing.
Yeah,
it's a different proposition. But there have been rumours the iPhone 5 will have a laptop dock.
Really?
That's been a rumour.
I can't see Apple doing that.
But if that happens, I will literally my hat, trousers, and trainers.
It is. It would go against
Apple. Would never
that
ever
Apple
do.
Would ever do. They might come up with some cunning way to link it to it, but to the no, I can't think of any circumstance where they would try and do anything like that.
Yeah. So shut it, Ring.
Yeah, I don't. All think, right. I don't
just
think
merely relaying information.
Yeah,
that
I wouldn't
heard.
Go. Oh, hold off for an iPhone 5 because the Atrix is coming, or vice versa. They're different propositions. Yeah. Decide which one you would like. I think
I'd buy a phone and buy a laptop.
Off, Dan. Well, just decide which one you'd like.
Yeah,
okay.
Damn it. No, but the features are very different. Ree.
Yeah, I've got Tomb Kicks, or Tom Cross, on failing iPod sales. So my iPod Touch shortly after getting my HTC Desire, realising there was no need for two similar devices. Best decision.
Mm. That's the best decision you've ever made? That? Mm. Really?
Listening to the T3 podcast, surely, must be high up the list. Yeah. Yeah. That is very true, though. I've got a pile of iPods at home.
Yeah, we've got a couple in the drawer, it's true. Gathering dust. I've even got my old Rio Karma, which is fabulous and has got some really great old stuff on it.
Get you. I've got iRiver.
Nice.
H140.
Yeah.
H40, sorry.
Anyway.
That's how's what that for we obscure? Got wrong.
Creeps tweets. It sounds slightly alarming. Also known as Big Mike Crawley. He tweeted to say that he saw me at the Gadget Show Live last week. He said, "You look pretty busy, so didn't want to disturb. Thought you did a great job, excellent, though not sure of the cardi."
That's nice. That sounds like he fancies you, to be honest.
That's the second self-congratulatory tweet that Dan's done again. Yeah. This week. Last week, it was didn't know what you looked like, Dan. Saying, much better than I expected.
I just give you what people tweet. But what was wrong with my cardi? What, that was the grey one. Was that not?
Is that the day I was there?
Yeah,
or?
I think so.
I liked the cardi.
Yeah, yeah.
Good.
What's wrong with the cardi?
Strong look.
Oh dear. Anyway, speaking of last week, it is time to admit what we got wrong on the T3 podcast last week. Yes, last week, I said this. We've got all three of the docks that come with it. So the TV dock, which hooks it up via HDMI to TV, you can watch your videos. The desktop one, which turns it into a desktop PC. And probably the best one of all, the laptop one. So this was about the Atrix, so we said the TV dock, which hooks it up via HDMI. The desktop one, which turns it into a desktop PC. And finally, best one of all, the laptop one. So that's three. Then we had a tweet from Andy Gibson. The Atrix only has two docks. One is dual-purpose HDTV and desktop computer.
Yeah, that's true.
And my immediate response to this was, rubbish, I've got three right here. What are you talking about, man?
Maybe there are three docks.
There are.
There's three docks.
Yes, because Mojo only gave us three, and we kind of laid them out in the fashion that's implied.
Yeah.
That one was for the TV, one was for the desktop PC, and one was for the laptop. But he's absolutely right. The TV one is also the PC one, and the one that we thought was a PC one is just a kind of a dummy charging stand.
It's like for
completely useless.
Alarm clock kind of thing.
But there is three docks.
We were half right. Yes.
You just misinterpreted the docs.
Yes.
You didn't miscount them.
Yes. Yeah. Right. That's my excuse.
So your numeracy is perfect.
Yeah.
Your verbal reasoning
is lacking.
Perhaps on this occasion failed.
Yes.
Just this once.
There we go. Yeah. So that's what we got wrong on the T3 podcast last week. Yes. Thank you, Andy. Ree, what have we got for our gadget of the week? Never loses its thumb.
It doesn't, does it? I love it. The bass just kicks in right at the end there. This week is the LG Optimus 2X.
The world's
LG's
first
dual-core
mobile phone by half an hour.
Is it? I thought the Atrix was.
No. It was the world's first by half an hour because Motorola announced the Atrix half an hour after the 2X.
You say you snooze, you lose.
Yeah, exactly.
But all their posters as well. They're on the London Underground at the moment. The world's first dual core.
Yeah. It's in shops.
Yes.
Is it? It's fair to say.
I'm not actually sure if it's in shops, so I'm going to go with I don't know.
Well researched.
Yeah, excellent. Anyway.
I reckon it is because we've got a thing about it in this month's mag.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's either on sale or imminently on sale.
I think imminent, actually.
Yeah.
So go on.
But
what do you make of it?
This week we did a speed test with the LG Optimus 2X versus the Sony Ericsson Xperia Arc to find out if dual core processor phones were much faster.
But the Arc isn't.
That was the point, you see.
It was a dual core versus a single core because we got a load of tweets.
I noticed certain people on Twitter had got the wrong end of the stick.
Yeah, we got a load of tweets saying, T3 think the Arc's dual core. Nah. But the whole point was you were comparing dual
is
and single
dual core.
Is dual core
really much faster? I'm not going to spoil it.
Oh.
You will have to watch the video.
Okay. So what were the bare stats? What is it? It's a gigahertz dual core.
It's a gigahertz dual core.
And the Arc is
a gigahertz Snapdragon.
Right.
Single core.
Okay. Yeah. So in theory, the 2X should wipe the floor with it, but we'll see. Okay.
But we tested the startup time, loading a browser, find us on a map, downloading an app, getting a video. So we give it a thorough testing.
Multitasking, did that come into it?
We didn't do multitasking. Because it was hard to time that.
Well, that's true.
Like how hard.
I see. Like, so you were trying to keep it scientific rather than subjective.
Yes, exactly.
So, so apart from all that speed stuff, have you, played with the phone? What does it
feel
like?
It's nice. Yeah, it's nice. The menu screens are much better on the 2X. Sometimes I find LG phones really basic. Feel really childlike to me, LG phones.
Okay.
But they are aimed at
quite a young market,
They feel really childlike. Like the icons are quite childish. Yeah. But this one's got a bit more,
a bit more grown up.
Yeah, and it looks really nice.
What about, you know, I mentioned there about battery life earlier. Mm. Did you notice that as an issue?
Not on the 2X or the Arc, actually. We were playing with it for a whole day and it managed to last out.
Oh, well, that's good to hear. Mm. Okay, excellent. So, that's on t3.com. Excellent. Thank you very much, Marie. Now it is the Easter weekend, and no doubt a few Easter eggs will be coming your way. But if you want to find more than you need, look no further than your games collection, which has all manner of hidden gems. T3 has sorted the wheat from the chaff on these. Just to explain for the uninitiated, an Easter egg in a video game is something that the programmers kind of insert for you to find if you do certain things.
A sort of succession of button presses if you wait on a menu screen for a long
time. Going to strange places on the game board and all that kind of business.
The first one ever was in the game Adventure on the VCS 2600.
Oh, good knowledge, good fact.
It was literally an egg.
I think if you went into a certain room and then waited around long enough, the names of the people who programmed the game came up or something. Maybe somebody can tweet and tell me how wrong I am about that. But it was something along those lines.
Ree, you have never found an Easter egg in your life.
No, I've never found an Easter egg in my life.
Well, you're clearly not the person to talk to.
Apart from those ones that the Easter Bunny have left me.
Oh, I see. So, Duncan, I turn to the authority.
Well, I haven't played computer games that much for quite some time, but I do remember one vividly, which I'm sure many readers will not remember at all, or indeed even be interested in. But there was this game on the BBC Micro called Frack, which was
we are going back a little while here.
Yeah, it was quite a primitive sort of platform game, and this I think this must be the geekiest sort of Easter egg ever because it you couldn't get to it through the game; you had to hack into the loading screen.
Oh.
Because the games obviously came on cassettes in those days.
Yeah, play.
So, I can't actually remember what the process was. We had to type in a few commands.
Yeah, well, normally on the Spectrum,
and then load it.
Play quotes, and then the name of the game, and then
you had to type in something technical, and then put play quotes Frank, and it would stop, and then you could get the code of the loading screen, and if you added a couple of extra lines, and obviously I read about this in a magazine. I'm not so geeky that I actually knew how to do this just off the top of my head. It played the theme from Captain Pugwash. How obscure is that?
That is quite obscure.
And nothing else. And you couldn't load the game from there. It literally just turned what was meant to be the loading screen into a vehicle for playing the theme tune from Captain Pugwash.
Can you remember the theme tune from Captain Pugwash?
It was...
Thank you. Well, my favourite... hold on, actually. I need some music for this. Do you have a SNES back in the day?
I did.
I'm going to lose that now.
Don't remember that music, though.
Yeah?
Actually, to be fair, that's like the music on most SNES games, other than the ones
Nintendo made. This is the music from Earthworm Jim, in fact.
Oh,
that really is enough of that. if you spelt on the front screen, when the game was paused, rather, on the controller, Yabba Yabba, so that would be Y-A-B-B-A-Y,
yep.
A-B-B-A, while it was paused, a picture of the programmer, Nick Jones, sporting a variety of wacky hairstyles, popped up.
Amazing.
Which is
pretty
nice.
Good.
And he did look like a programmer. You know, what's the programmer from GoldenEye? What's his name? The Russian programmer guy. Is it Sergei or something? He looked exactly like him.
Was that Alan Cummins?
Yes. No, I can't. I'm useless on names of actors. Him. That person.
It is great how we really research what we're going to talk about
thoroughly
on this
every
podcast
time,
every week.
Every time, yes.
He looks very much like that guy. Oh, what guy, Dan?
Guy?
Oh, I can't remember.
You know, the guy. The guy.
He was a character.
The
what was guy? The name of the actor? I don't really know the name of the actor.
Don't push me on these things. But yes, so if you've got your copy of Earthworm Jim, you can dust that off, or you could just go to teethrock.com where there's a video of it.
Great.
And also a video of a load of other Easter eggs, including a few more modern games.
Do they... this is probably a stupid question, but would an emulator also give you the same Easter egg? Do
I
emulated
imagine.
Games
yeah,
also...
Yeah, because the button, it's just the same ROM, isn't it?
That'd be a good way of testing, wouldn't it? There How good go. Is this emulation? If I do Yabba Yabba, does Nick Thingy come up?
Yeah, let's find out.
Nick Thingy.
Nick Jones.
There we are. So everyone, you can tweet in about that next week.
There we go.
If you can be bothered.
Excellent. A little project for everyone over the long weekend. But that is about it for this week. Remember, teether.com has all the latest. T3's on the shelves and on your iPad. And we are on iTunes every Friday. Till next week, I've been Dan Maudsley, and you've been listening to the T3 Podcast.